ABC Radio Australia.
Now, to mark World Oceans Day, the World Bank has released a report highlighting some of the dangers we take trying to cross Pacific waters and what can be done to solve them. It's found that patchy services, unreliable boats, and a lack of oversight can often mean many people put their lives at risk trying to journey between islands. But there is hope for improvement, and to take us through it, we're joined by the World Bank's Senior Infrastructure Specialist, Sean Michaels. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Talia. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me on the program.
No, thank you for joining us and getting up early. It's always a bit of an ask. Yeah. Now, Sean, let's start with one of the biggest maritime disasters from the region. We're talking back in 2018 in Kiribati, where more than 90 people died after boarding an unfit ferry for passenger use, and many of them were school students. How much has changed in regards to maritime safety in the Pacific since that event?
Well, look, that disaster was absolutely horrific. And, unfortunately, it wasn't the last one. You're probably aware there was also a disaster in 2020 in the Solomon Islands, where 27 people were washed overboard. So there has been a situation like that. There's been, a number of other safety incidents since then, and there's a lack of data out there just to really grasp the problem. But the good thing is that it's on countries' radars, right? We're engaged in the sector. We've seen governments take this incredibly seriously. There are a number of countries that are taking measures to improve it. Some of the measures will take some time, but some are already underway, whether countries are investing in infrastructure or safety gear or, to strengthen the regulations, enforcement, and oversight. But there are still gaps. And these gaps need to be addressed.
Because I remember when I was reporting on that Kiribati tragedy, that part of the issues with the ferry was that, in open seas, it wasn't designed to have passengers on it. And even the simple thing of communication, of when they set off to where they were going, they hadn't let anyone know. So it took a while to realise that there was even an issue. So there is a range of different things. It's not just obviously the safety of the vessel itself, but the surrounding things with communication that also, lead to making things safer.
Oh, you're totally right. It's a whole myriad of things, right? So, there's cases where, the weather, you'd have a severe weather event and vessels go out and they have no business being out there in severe weather events. Or, we've seen cases where the vessels are totally, they have too many people, too much cargo, they're overloaded. Comms equipment, as you noted, is either not used appropriately, or it may, sometimes not be sufficient. And so there are these are some of the issues that are in place. And it all comes back to this point of there's a need, a great need for a greater safety culture in the Pacific when it comes to the maritime transport sector. And, regulations need to be strengthened, enforcement as well, right? That's really key in this, in the whole set of solutions that need to be taken.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when a tragedy happens, obviously there are calls for investigations. Those investigations come out. There's a report. Those report offers findings in the aim of improving safety conditions and trying to avoid disasters from happening again. Why do you think sometimes that these findings are not implemented? Like, what are the challenges that the Pacific face when it comes to taking that next, step sometimes?
Well, look, it depends. Sometimes, it could be a capacity challenge. It could be an issue of, a judiciary system, maybe, and unfortunately the enforcement, the penalties are not strong enough. Oversight and monitoring at the ports before before the ships go out to sea is not strong enough. You know, some of the private vessel carriers, you know, you have to make sure that they're heeding the warnings. So all of this is tied, you know, strengthening audits, you know, of vessel conditions, things like that. All of that can partly create, you know, is contributing to some of the persistent problems and challenges. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you know, we're very hopeful it's getting better. But certainly a lot more needs to be done.
Indeed. You're listening to World Bank's Senior Infrastructure Specialist, Sean Michaels, talking to me on World Oceans Day about Pacific maritime safety. Now, Sean, sometimes these improvements can be costly and, you know, some companies can then pass those costs on through ticket prices to passengers. You know, cost, of course, is a huge barrier into getting things fixed. And, you know, sometimes you just need to get to that other island. You know, what can be done in terms of making it, I guess, beneficial for companies that they, you know, make those upgrades, make those improvements if they need to do, and then also for passengers that, you know, they're not the ones who, I know that their safety is important, but they're not the ones solely wearing the financial costs.
Yeah, look, it's a great question, and there isn't an easy solution, but I think there's a couple things that can be done. You know, one thing is on the upfront planning of the ship that's going to be purchased, you know, or the assets that are going to be purchased, and making sure that it's suitable. You know, sometimes there may be a tendency to try to buy bigger, but bigger is not always better, right? You know, getting something that's suitable for the sea, and investing more in the maintenance is really important. And when you invest in maintenance, it's better than, you know, buying something, falling apart, and then having to buy something again, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, there's things like policy interventions. You know, countries may want to look into subsidy support, for example, to help ensure that prices don't get passed on, you know, increases in prices don't get passed on to the passengers, for example. So there's a couple of things, but, you know, that can be taken. But I'd really center around, when it comes to that, and the affordability angle is both, you know, looking at a combination of policy interventions and then the planning of the you know, what the vessel is going to be used.
Indeed. And obviously, when it comes to policy, we're talking about governments. So what would you like to see governments do in this space? Does it need to be prioritized more, or, you know, what can be done?
Look, we see, you know, and the report just doesn't only focus on safety, but it is a huge, huge part of it. But I think there's five key things that we'd like to see, you know, actions that countries can take. One is investing in maritime infrastructure for life. So what does that mean? It means a whole of life approach to building and maintaining infrastructure and vessels. Mm. You know, in particular, greater emphasis needs to be placed on improving maintenance processes, which, as I mentioned, are often underfunded.
Indeed. The five are important, but we're running close to the clock. So if we can get the other four in the next minute, that would be great.
No worries. We need to improve planning to future-proof critical infrastructure like ports, right? So safety is also closely tied to the Pacific's vulnerability to natural disasters and climate change. So ensuring that, you know, the infrastructure and the vessels are able to be resilient and handle that, that's important. Improving safety through leadership, commitment, and investment. Enhancing governance is incredibly important, and enforcement, and enhancing the maritime services to better connect communities by providing more reliable and affordable domestic shipping services, mm-hmm. particularly to those living in the remote outer islands that may be most vulnerable, particularly when it comes to safety concerns.